Almost every pop music holiday song written in the past 80 years owes at least some of its DNA to one Christmas tune in particular, White Christmas, written by Irving Berlin and sung by Bing Crosby. It is one of the best-selling songs of all time in any genre, and as NPR's Anastasia Siokis reports, White Christmas became the model for a lot of modern secular holiday songs, despite a complicated and troubling history.
Songwriter Irving Berlin wasn't destined to be a Yuletide magic maker. He was born in Siberia to an Orthodox Jewish family. But Berlin embraced assimilation. He married an Irish Catholic woman and had Christmas trees in his house. Even so, Christmas was always a holiday shadowed by personal tragedy.
On Christmas Day 1928, his only son died. He always told members of his family that he disliked Christmas for this reason, that he could never get past the sadness that he experienced on Christmas Day.
That's author and New York Times contributing writer Jody Rosen talking about the death of Irving Berlin's son, Irving Jr. And at its heart, Rosen says, White Christmas is a deeply melancholic song.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
It was strange to have a song that was all about this nose pressed up to the glass feeling.
And it set a certain standard for Christmas songs that are about nostalgia, about some lost Christmas past. But there's other stuff going on, too. Irving Berlin was a hit machine as a Tin Pan Alley and Broadway songwriter. And as a New Yorker and an immigrant himself, he was intimately familiar with a particular genre of songs, Rosen says.
That tradition of so-called home songs, you know, songs that pine for a lost place, a lost ideal. These songs are so huge because we have an immigrant population. So there were songs about Irish people longing for Ireland and Italians longing for the old country there.
He says Berlin took that genre and flipped it into a Christmas song. But Jody Rosen says we're missing a lot of subtext. White Christmas doesn't just reference those immigrant songs. He says much of that nostalgia vibe in White Christmas, all that longing for a pristine, innocent Christmas of yore, is a reference to explicitly racist minstrel songs.
The sun shines bright in the old Kentucky home.
Stuff like Stephen Foster's Old Kentucky Home, sung by Al Jolson, music that was still a staple in Berlin's day.
The corn tops ripe.
You have, grotesquely, the freed black man longing for life back below the Mason-Dixon line, back on the plantation.
But it isn't just a matter of subtle references to old songs. Irving Berlin had great commercial expectations for White Christmas. He built a whole movie around it, 1942's Holiday Inn, starring Bing Crosby and Fred Astaire. It's stuffed with racist stereotypes and an entire blackface number. As Crosby and his love interest, played by Marjorie Reynolds, prepare for that song, Crosby spreads grease paint on her face as the orchestra plays White Christmas underneath.
What's that?
Well, I thought it over, and I believe if our number would go a little better in blackface.
Oh, I thought we were going to do it like this.
Well, that's before I thought it over.
I look terrible in this stuff.
No.
I don't even know how to put it on.
I'll put it on for you.
Blackface on stage and on screen was very much a recent memory for 1940s audiences, says scholar Bryn Shaivitz.
And so we get a pairing of like nostalgia for Christmas and also nostalgia for blackface, because so many of the people that were watching Holiday Inn when it premiered in the theaters grew up watching vaudeville, grew up watching their parents maybe even perform in blackface.
Audiences loved White Christmas and its spotlight in Holiday Inn. American GIs stationed abroad clamored for the Armed Forces radio service to play the song. It was so successful, they made another White Christmas movie in 1954, starring Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, and Rosemary Clooney. And since then, legions of musicians have recorded their own versions of White Christmas. Today's audiences and artists don't necessarily hear or even know about its racist history, but that doesn't mean it's not there. Anastasia Tsiolkas, NPR News, New York.